Welcome to Ohtani Comes to America, a show about the two-way baseball player Shohei Ohtani. I'm Jack.
And I'm Kev.
So we're back, and I just want to start off right away. Do you think this was the most dramatic offseason of all time?
About as crazy as I could have ever predicted. And of course, it happens when he joins the team in Hollywood. You know what I mean? Like, it's almost a joke. Like, it's too easy. Baseball, you're not even trying anymore with the script. But yeah, it's been pretty crazy.
Yeah, I agree. And this is also for a person who tries to avoid drama at all costs. But we'll kind of go throughout the episode to talk about the marriage, all the Ipe scandal stuff with the gambling, Korea series, spring training, some predictions for the season ahead. We're recording this right after opening day. Season is just kicking off, so let's just kind of go through it overall a bit in order, because we did the hypothetical what if teams episode in February, but before that we had covered Ohtani coming to the Dodgers in free agency, $700 million contract, Yamamoto joined the team too. Dodgers had crazy offseason of picking up players, which we'll talk about, and then Ohtani has spring training, you know, ramping back up after his procedure in the fall and everything. Pretty normal for the most part in February from what you'd expect. And then, beginning of March, March 3rd, Ohtani posted on Instagram, which is like his favorite way to announce stuff, that he's married now. Which is kind of crazy, because as Mike Trout said, I didn't even know he had a girlfriend.
First off, congrats to Ohtani on his new marriage. Out of nowhere, I mean, we always called him the star boy, you know, the bachelor. We had all these jokes. Joke was on us this whole time. I don't even remember the post, but he made a post saying he's married, blah, blah, blah. He's happy. And one of the famous quotes on the whole statement was, the person is a normal Japanese woman or something like that. And then we find out, like, nah, shorty's like the Steph Curry of women basketball in Japan, bro. Like, not normal at all. Like, I don't know. It was just crazy. So just like, it was weirdly like a shocker for his fans, were like the people that care about baseball, because it was so like kind of out of the blue. Some people said they like planned to come out with the news because they were doing like the series in South Korea, and I think she was going to be traveling, so he just kind of got ahead of it. I could see that.
Yeah, I mean, that trip to Korea for the Seoul series was when he posted a picture of her for the first time, like them getting ready to get on the flight to go for that trip. And that's when we learned, like you said, Japanese basketball player Mamiko Tanaka is her name. 6 foot tall. She was a forward for a team there from 2019 to 2023.
A normal Japanese woman, bro? 6 feet is crazy. That's not normal anywhere. But all right.
Yeah, when they went on that trip, I mean, craziness in terms of the arrival and everything at the airport with all the fans and media waiting and stuff, and she was right there with him. And then during that first game, I mean, I didn't watch it, but I heard there was Taylor Swift kind of coverage of, you know, the camera just cutting over to her all the time and stuff like that. And even like you said, in terms of the timing for announcing it, we've seen already for this start of the season, her being at the stadium with Decoy, the dog, and everything. So we're going to see her around for sure. So getting that quote-unquote distraction out of the way before the season, I think was definitely intentional in that sense. But also, they've supposedly known each other for 3 to 4 years now and got engaged last year. And he wouldn't say when they exactly got married. But, you know, I can't help but think, in the back of his head, he's like, I don't know if I want to bring her out to Angel Stadium right now. Like, let me wait, see where I land in free agency. And then, you know, that'll be the new chapter at that point.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's like, yeah, I don't want no Angel fans sending like death threats and stuff to her. Like, keep her out of it. I respect it. Not mad at that decision at all.
While they were in Korea, I mean, that would have been the story itself that was at the start of it. New marriage, new wife with him and everything. And the first game went well. I mean, he got his first hit after facing Yu Darvish for the first time ever, who played for the same team as him in Japan before he got there, and Ohtani took Darvish's number. They have a history. Darvish was also in that documentary that came out this past November talking about Ohtani. But the big story that really came to dominate that Korea series was this Ipe scandal, which started basically, at least publicly to us, on Wednesday, March 20th, and was a whole thing because basically LA Times had reported that Ohtani's lawyers were accusing Ipe of massive theft, that he used to place bets with an illegal bookie who's being looked at by the feds. And ESPN put out this article saying they'd had a 90-minute interview with Ipe on Tuesday night. And we can get into some of what he said in that, but basically the next day he took back pretty much everything and said, oh yeah, I lied, I was lying about this or whatever. It became a whole mess. When it went public, there was this whole thing of, oh, Ohtani just found out about it in the Dodgers locker room when they had a team meeting after that first game in Korea. And then he didn't give a comment the next day, which is totally understandable, trying to like figure out the situation. So just to get into some of the details, one, Ipe said he never bet on baseball. He said international soccer, NBA, NFL, and college football. He said that he knew the rule that you couldn't bet on baseball, which basically MLB players and employees are allowed to bet on sports other than baseball, but not with illegal bookmakers or offshore websites. And basically in California, it's still one of the states where you can't legally bet on sports. So that was part of it. And basically his debt is rumored to have gone to like $4.5 million or something around that, maybe even more. ESPN said they saw bank info showing Ohtani's name on two $500,000 payments in September and October, which people also pointed out was when he had his procedure and stuff and was recovering. Even just on that real quick, I saw a bunch of both US and Japanese, even Korean people talking about how translators or people who work with you like that often do have access to certain accounts. And I think I saw something that there might have even been a specific charity account that Ohtani had or something. So it's definitely possible that Ipe had access to this and sent payments by himself. We don't know for sure yet. I guess at some point we'll get confirmation. Basically, Ipe placed bets through this guy, Matthew Boyer, who is an illegal bookie in California and is under investigation, had his house raided, could be facing felony charges, all this stuff. And basically with the payments to this bookie, Ipe had said initially in that Tuesday interview, Ohtani obviously wasn't happy about it and said he would help me out to make sure I never do this again. He decided to pay it off for me. Ohtani logged onto his own computer and sent the wire transfers under Ipe's supervision in installments over several months last year. Now, can you picture that in your head? Ohtani with Ipe by his side pulling up his own computer and being like, yeah, let me send these payments that are very suspicious to help you get out of this debt. And I have no problem, you know, my name being attached to the payments and everything.
I wouldn't bet money on that story being true. I'll just say it that way.
But yeah, and then supposedly on that Wednesday, the day after that initial Tuesday interview, the ESPN reporter Tisha Thompson reached out to basically Ohtani's team asking to confirm that Ohtani was there, helped move the money, and was going to be paid back. And that's when Ohtani's lawyers came out with a statement saying that in the course of responding to media inquiries, we discovered that Ohtani has been the victim of massive theft and that they were turning over the incident to the authorities. And then that same day, Ipe walked back basically all he said and said that Ohtani had no knowledge of his gambling or tried to repay for him. And in Korea after, I feel like everything was just about that. Like, would Ohtani say anything? Would he not? And he didn't. Everyone was kind of waiting after to see what Ohtani would eventually say. What would you say was like your initial reaction to hearing about it before we found out more and everything?
It's messy. It's very Hollywood. It's very TMZ. All of a sudden, this whole big change more money, more problems kind of thing happens. And obviously, yeah, like technically the first game of the season and all this thing is coming out. So it was just crazy to see. Baseball has had a bit of a history with gambling and betting and people that are really important to the game. Made the black sheep, and I'm talking about like Pete Rose, who are like all-time leader in hits, at least in the MLB. It's not in the Hall of Fame because he has a history of betting on his own team or betting. I don't really even know that story very well, but
I mean, this even goes back to, you know, the Black Sox and stuff in like the early 20th century, you know?
A lot of history goes way back. Our beloved Shohei, literally from night to day, turned into like the sweetest to like somewhat of a villain because people hated his signing and like the move, and now powerhouse of MLB, and like, yeah, you're gonna have a little bit of a target on your back, and like this is happening, so it's kind of like holy ish, you know, like this is happening to our Shohei, even though he's in the Dodgers and I'm a Dodger hater now. It was a lot, and like you said, a lot of the info that was coming up was kind of just getting thrown out there, and things were getting crossed up and words were getting taken back, and even just reading on it was just like shock and like, wow, this is actually happening.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen how close him and Ipe were over this whole time we've been doing this podcast. Obviously, we don't know tons of personal info about Ipe, and not like you can see on the surface someone has a gambling problem, but I don't know, I never expected this from him. Like, if it was just, you know, he has that issue, but that was just something he dealt with, then that's one thing. But then to bring into the scandal this person, your friend, your business partner, whatever, who has helped you to, you know, make a really successful career for yourself and arguably be set for life really after this, it just, yeah, was a total shock for sure. We did also find out from reports over the weekend that the college that Ipe said he went to, UC Riverside, has no record of him going there. And
crazy.
And he had said that he worked for the Red Sox and Yankees, and that also wasn't true. So there were all these lies. So Ohtani did give a statement to the media this past Monday on March 26th. Basically, at the Monday press conference, Ohtani was there with his new translator, Will Ireton. And some of the standout lines from Ohtani, he said, "I'm very sad and shocked that someone I've trusted has done this. I never bet on baseball or any other sports, or have never asked somebody to do it on my behalf. Ipe has been stealing money from my account and has told lies. Ipe never revealed to me that there was this media inquiry. Ipe has been telling everyone around that he has been communicating all of this on my account to my reps and my team, and that hasn't been true. The first time he knew about it was in the team meeting after the first game in Korea. He said, obviously, I never agreed to pay off the debt or make payments to the bookie. All of this has been a complete lie." And then he said, "To summarize how I'm feeling right now, I'm just beyond shocked. It's really hard to verbalize how I'm feeling at this point." So still a lot of questions up in the air. But just overall, from at least that press conference, what did you take away from it? And I guess how satisfied with it were you based on what we can know right now? Because obviously, it's not going to be case closed immediately. Like, things have to go through investigation.
It was okay. It's very, like, cookie cutter. This is what you should say. Probably you didn't write it. This was your lawyer.
Yeah, I mean, it was a written, like, prepared statement, too.
Yeah. So, pretty much, I guess, what I would expect. Not in a bad way. I'm not saying he's hiding anything. I guess it just, for sure, defined that, like, one, Ipe's dunzos.
Yeah, we should say Ipe immediately got fired on that Wednesday.
Whether it was a hard decision or not for him to make, he's done, and it was more like choosing a side. They're gonna plead that he was very oblivious to the whole thing, wasn't aware of it. The big villain here is Ipe. That's mostly what I got from it. Do I fully believe Ipe was the one behind everything? Yeah, I'd say so. Do I fully believe that Shohei was like fully 100% unaware? I wouldn't bet money on that, but if I was in his shoes, yeah. Again, I'm not saying he's lying, but I would follow my lawyer's words. Yeah, just say the right things kind of thing. And like, that's kind of how it should be. Because obviously, if you give in to even saying a fraction of it, one, you're going to lose your credibility, lose the rep. People are going to actually try to find that it was you betting. There's like no benefit from it. So completely agree. I am still super interested on seeing how everything turns out and possibly saying that documentary and I don't know, documentaries kind of hit fast nowadays. You don't have to say 10, 15 years anymore. That show will be out in 2 years. But whenever that hits the streets, want to see it, I'm interested. And it's one of those things where like, I just want someone to like put this beautifully laid out in front of me because everything right now is still such a mess. I don't believe anyone, including Shohei, sadly enough. I don't think he's lying, but like I said, I don't know that I have that full 100% trust. Not that I care about betting, honestly. Let them bet. Let them do steroids too. Like I'm part of that group. That's how much I care. But I still just want to see everything laid out at the end of the day when everything's finalized. I'm almost like at the point that I'm over it just because it's such a mess that I'm like, get the story together, get back to me. It's like a teacher, you know, like fix this setup. I'll regrade this after. That's kind of how I feel right now.
I think Ipe is for sure at fault. He's the one who stirred all this up. I do think, like I said, he for sure could have had access to at least a certain type of account that had enough money for him to send these transfers. I mean, it seems like Ohtani's team, financial, PR, lawyers, everyone kind of fell down on the job for this to even let it get to this point in the first place. So that's probably more likely of the story that Ipe was able to get by because of these holes or deficiencies in who Ohtani was keeping around him, obviously including literally his right-hand man, Ipe. I do agree with you that it does seem a little weird to me, or like I don't really believe that he just found out for the first time in that team meeting after. If so, that just means even more his team is beyond shitty at their job. But how did nothing get to Ohtani? Unless it was Ipe truly blocking everything that was coming in. But even then, I'm just like, how did not even a piece of this like come to Ohtani's attention before it was made public that day? I never really thought Ohtani was actually betting. I didn't think he was like in the clear in terms of the story being fully confirmed, but just doesn't seem like him to me. And obviously we don't know him, he's a very private person, but just how focused he's always been on baseball and how much money he makes, it doesn't add up that he would be betting on other sports like that. It just doesn't make any sense to me. So I definitely, like you said, have questions that I want to get answered and would like to know the actual full real story. But for right now, I mean, it seems like it's not that it's getting swept under the rug at all, because it's just going to be ongoing and fans for sure won't let it die. But it seems like he really is just, you know, getting back to focusing on baseball. Dodgers team and teammates don't seem fazed by it. So just seeing kind of what the reaction has been like at the very start of these official games here to kick off the season, I feel like it'll be business as usual until we get, or if we get, something that really changes the story and like takes it in a different direction, if that happens. Getting back to just baseball then, you know, we saw him in spring training, he was ramping up, seems to be all perfectly good to go for the regular season, hitting wise after his procedure. And then he'll be ramping up throughout the year for pitching, including throwing for the first time right after that press conference on Monday. But I guess keeping in mind that he's only focusing on hitting this year instead of being a two-way player, you know, besides the rehab on the side, and also this being his first year with the Dodgers, being on a really competitive team, I guess, how do you think overall he's going to do? And then we can get into some of the little categories.
Shohei's gonna do Shohei. I think he's gonna do fine. I see him just getting more and more comfortable, getting better. He's in a position where even if he wasn't fully mentally there, just the pitches you're gonna see, having Mookie and Freddie Freeman around you and the rest of the Dodgers team, you're gonna shine. You're gonna do good. I'm not saying he's gonna put up MVP numbers or anything, but he's gonna put up numbers every Dodger fan will be happy to have. That's just kind of how I see it.
Yeah, I think we've seen with Ohtani that actually, not only is this not really going to phase him, like you said, with what we know now or what's out now, but I think he's going to actually use it as fuel to just push him to be even better this year. It's like this extra chip on his shoulder now. that was already there with coming to a new team and signing this huge contract and everything. But I think now this is just like an extra boost in his back. And I think he'll have like an all-star level season. MVP, I don't know. But for sure, I think he'll have a really good year overall. And yeah, I guess just getting into even home runs to start out, where do you think he'll land? Like somewhere in the 40s, somewhere in the 50s, less than that, breaking it?
I'm trying to think, like Dodger Stadium isn't the smallest park to the poolside, but we know Shohei goes oppo too. The thing is, it's also not the smallest when you're going oppo. I put him like at 39. I don't know why I don't see the 40.
I'm gonna go just under 50. I'll go with 47.
Damn.
And we can see who gets closer. I have a feeling it could even end up somewhere in the middle of R2, but what about for OPS? You think Ohtani will one dot?
One dot is up there. I mean, of course, Ohtani can do it. I don't have him in the one dots. I have him in the nines. Still elite. Still really good. Like out of the three, the big three in Mookie, Shohei, Freeman, I see him kind of getting the worst end of it. He's going to get the most challenging pitches, I think, out of all three of them. And Freddie's one of those, like, he's going to take the walk most of the time.
I think it's definitely possible he could one dot, but I agree. It takes a really elite level season to get there. So somewhere in the nines is probably more realistic. Maybe somewhere over like a 950. And also, just with one thing on Freddie real quick, I saw there was some joke about how he had more steals than Ohtani last year and he was teasing him about it. Do you think Mr. Hot Wheels, Shohei, will end up with more steals than Freddie this season now? Or is he going to be cautious in the rehab process and everything?
Yeah, I almost see it as like, this team doesn't have to steal much. You kind of just let the bats bat.
Well, it's funny too that you say that, because even on opening day for the first game, I saw a clip of basically Ohtani hit a single down the line and was running, and he rounded past second, but he didn't see the stop sign from the third base coach, and Mookie was stuck on third, so Ohtani couldn't keep going, and he had to run back, and he got caught in a rundown and stuff. But there was something that someone posted after where he's like talking to people in the dugout, and you don't hear what he's saying, but they basically captioned it like, oh, so you mean I don't have to run and take every base for this to happen? Like, so I think it's kind of like what you're saying, where he can chill out a bit more because the team will hit around him.
No, yeah, imagine like trying to steal a base, but oh, you got Freddie behind you. If he doesn't get an extra base hit, it's probably a single. And if it's not a single and he hits it hard, it's probably a home run. Don't run. We're going to move. In this case, somehow, it's a benefit to Freddie. Like, I see Freddie getting more. I'll say this. I think because of Ohtani, Mookie Betts is like favorite for MVP. We already see he's getting way more pitches to hit. Like, they're going to pitch around Shohei, and then they're going to have to pitch to Freddie. Freddie's going to have great numbers, but I think Mookie's numbers are going to be crazy this year.
And he's playing shortstop too.
He's doing it all. Unless the shortstop thing gets to his head, which happens. We've seen it before where like people that aren't necessarily comfortable in their position, they kind of start losing it. I don't know that that's Mookie, but he's going to go off.
So just to kind of look at the team overall to wrap it up, obviously the Dodgers are going to be good. They had a $1 billion offseason on Ohtani and Yamamoto alone, and they brought in a bunch of other people with Glasnow, Teoscar, and they just like supplemented their already great roster. And the NL West, the division they're in, is still going to be competitive. Right now, where do you predict them ending up?
Easily in the playoffs. I think they're easily over 100 wins. Yeah, I guess the question is, like, do they take it?
It's obviously World Series or bust.
I would place a bet that the Dodgers win this year. You know, just to keep it in theme. I don't know that I fully trust them, but I would say they have no reason why to lose the championship this year.
I think the Dodgers aren't going to have as early an exit from the playoffs as they've been having in recent years in like the first and second round. But I don't know, something about the randomness of who ends up winning usually just makes me feel like, even though the Dodgers are set up maybe the best of anyone, at least like top three around there of teams most likely to win it all, we just have seen that doesn't usually happen. And I do think Ohtani will help for sure, and I think he'll be a boost to the team throughout the year. And I'm really excited to see him in the playoffs because we've literally never seen that. I do think they'll for sure win at least one, probably multiple championships during his time with the Dodgers. I don't know if it'll be this year, though. But that's like, it's almost an easy answer at the same time, like kind of a cop-out too, to just say, you know, it's so random, we can't tell. But that's just how it seemed in recent years.
No, but it is true. The Dodgers have a history of like terrible timing with injuries. Their pitching health has always been terrible. Anything's possible, yeah. Like, come September, come whatever, a team might have a few missing pieces.
It's like too hard to predict who gets hot at that time.
We saw it last year, even with the Diamondbacks. Pretty good team, but they were just hot at the right time. They got all the way to the end.
So yeah, that kind of sums up our recap of this insane offseason, from winning the MVP, showing off his new dog, and then going to the $700 million contract signing, and Yamamoto also joining the team, and then the marriage announcement, and then Korea series with the Ipe scandal. Like, it was a lot that happened. This is kind of where we're at with it right now. And yeah, just a little preview for the season ahead. But in the meantime, you can keep up with updates by subscribing to our newsletter, otanicomestoamerica.substack.com. We'll put it in the description in the show notes of this episode. And otherwise, that wraps it up for this episode of Otani Comes to America. I'm Jack. You can find me at JackBloomSummer, summer with an O, on everything.
And you can find me at Same Old Kev pretty much everywhere.
And best of luck this season to Shohei Ohtani, a.k.a. the Kendrick Lamar of the Dodgers Big Three.
A.k.a. the $700 million baby. It's an old movie reference. You get the point.